जनितमिनन्दस्य जनाग्नाशलकया चक्षुस्मृताञ्जेन तस्मै श्रीहृदय नमः चैतन्यमनुभीष्टं स्थापयतां येन भूतले सायं रूपकलामायां ददति सा फलाञ्जिकम् मन्त्रकपटुभ्यश्च कृपसिन्धुभैव च पतितनं पवनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः The King Paranjana, who does he represent? Yes. Are we kings? No. Then? How are we? Huh?
We're old people.
We're old folks. Feels that way anyway. But yes, we are kings, actually. We're kings of our body. We rule, in some sense, the body. That is the chetra. We are the chetragya. Was actually when the soul is realized, he becomes Kshatragya. But the king is the ruler of his kingdom. And to some degree, we rule this kingdom of the body, etc. And king, like every good king, I gave the secret away. Who did the king meet? He met his queen. And it was love at first sight. And the queen represents what? Material intelligence. Yes. Because through the use of material intelligence, the king can enjoy his kingdom. And there's a whole city that the king, actually, the soul, moves into. And there are so many servants, there are so many gates to the city. And each of these has meaning. But all of them, for a materialistic person, the whole body, the everything, the intelligence, the mind, the life's energy, everything is used for the purpose of enjoyment. So this is the wrong consciousness to be in. The wrong use of a body, especially the human body. The proper use of the human body is not to make an attempt to enjoy. Why? Why shouldn't we make an attempt to enjoy ourselves, make that the purpose of our life? Yep, and what happens? And what happens even if we didn't become entangled? We do become entangled, and what's the result of the entanglement? What happens? You get entangled. I mean, so what? You get entangled. What happens? What's wrong with trying to enjoy this life, using our life to just enjoy our senses?
Discover our true nature.
Yeah, and what's the benefit of discovering your true nature?
That we find heaven.
Yeah, we find our natural position. Because when we're in an unnatural position, we're always uncomfortable. Something is not right, but it's because of the unnaturalness of the position. All loud bags have to leave, but the people who hold them can stay. Why don't you just empty out the flowers all at once and get it all over with? And then when no one's looking, if we don't like the point in the Bhagavatam class, we can like rumple the bags or something like that. And actually, it's not possible for us to enjoy it in the material world because Krishna himself has said, Dukkhalayam ashashvatam anitya sukhya loka. The material world, by definition, is a place of misery, because everything is temporary, and we long for an eternal situation. Everything that we become attached to, we will lose. And as Prahlad Maharaj said, that which we don't want to happen will happen. And what we do want to happen won't happen over a long period of time. So try as we may, even if we try to challenge the world and really, really show that we can enjoy, it is impossible. This body itself will become diseased. And the only thing that can stop a body from becoming diseased is what? Yeah. Exactly what I was thinking. The only way it doesn't become diseased, if it dies, which is the ultimate thing that happens to the body. It has to happen, it has to happen. And no one, not one person, actually wants it to happen. But yet, and therefore we can't become happy here. It is not possible. Not if we satisfied, if we wrote down, if we took 2 days off and just simply wrote down everything we wanted to happen, and to get a whole Christmas list, and ask Santa for everything we can think of, socks, shoes, new bicycle, everything. Everything. Still we would not be happy, because there's something inherently wrong with the soul in the material world, because we are spiritual. So therefore we take what we need, what we require to keep our body healthy and our mind peaceful, and it may be different for different people. We try to minimize that as much as possible. And we use our time and our energy to find out the actual, to find out, discover and live within, to explore and live within our true nature, the nature of the soul. Sambandhagyana. To find out our true nature. This takes deep thought, spiritual guidance, takes a cultivation, it takes cultivation of the mode of goodness, so many things. The process of Krishna consciousness basically helps us with this. So the king, Paranjana, he got his city, just like we have our city of the body, and he got his wife, just like we have our intelligence, and he was set up to enjoy. And now, in chapter 26, King Paranjana, he goes to the forest to the hunt, and his queen becomes angry. Now, the queen is what again? Represents what? Intelligence, material intelligence, the intelligence, the ability to figure out how to enjoy, right? So, we can criticize material intelligence. And we say that is not the proper use of intelligence, etc. Material intelligence isn't good. But having no intelligence is even worse. And that's what happens when the king goes to the forest to hunt. Because he doesn't go alone, who will he take with him? For sure, his mind and his senses. With no intelligence. It's like a two-year-old. You ever see what happens? Anyone ever watch two-year-olds? I know you have. Yes? You have. You have. Two-year-olds? You have? No. That's right, no. You once were, but you didn't watch yourself then. But when someone is two, the body starts working, and they want to touch everything, go into every cupboard, look at everything, stick everything in their mouth, but no intelligence at all. It's also like a 16-year-old in many ways. How old are you? And not like an 18-year-old at all, obviously. Not like this 18-year-old. So his queen becomes angry at him from going to the forest to hunt. The great sage Narada continued, "My dear king, once upon a time, King Paranjana took up his great bow, and equipped with golden armor and a quiver of unlimited arrows, and accompanied by 11 commanders. Who are the 11 commanders? 10 senses and one mind. 10 senses means that there are 5 working senses and 5 knowledge acquiring senses. But he left his intelligence home. Sometimes we do this, it seems. And his chariot, driven by 5 swift horses, he went to the forest named Panchaprastha. Panchaprastha, the forest of Panchaprastha, means the forest of the 5 sense objects. And this is what happens when we don't use our intelligence properly. We mount on the chariot of the 5 senses, and the 5 senses go wild, looking for the 5 sense objects. The eyes want to see something wonderful. The nose wants to smell some very, very delicious fragrance. The tongue wants to taste. And this way, and the hands want to touch. And the ears want to hear. Just going mad with no intelligence. So Panchaprastha, he took with him in that chariot 2 explosive arrows. You know what those 2 explosive arrows were? If you read the purport, you know. They are Yes, lamentation and illusion. What is the illusion when we're hunting for our enjoyment? There's so much illusion, but the biggest illusion, of course, is that you're going to get your enjoyment. But we start imagining that this is going to bring me enjoyment, and if I have this, and if I purchase this, and I buy that, or something like that, or capture this, then I shall be what?
Happy.
And then, so if we get it, we're an illusion. And if we don't get it, what do we do? Shok. We lament. Oh, only if, blah, 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 only blah. I could have done it if he didn't stop me. There's lament and lament and lament. So it's lamentation and illusion. These are the 2 explosive weapons. So he took with him in that chariot 2 explosive arrows. So they explode upon us, lamentation, illusion, when we're hunting for our enjoyment. The chariot itself was situated on 2 wheels and 1 revolving axle. On the chariot were 3 flags, 3 modes of material nature. And the three modes of material nature, just like the flags in olden, or even now, what is the purpose of a flag? Yes. Yeah. If someone puts out an Australian flag in front of the house, what do you know about that person? It's not a hard question, is it? They're Australian and they're proud of it. So you can not, and if they put out a, depending upon the kind of flag a person puts out, you can understand. Now, Arjuna, what flag did he have? Yes. Very, very good. And what did Krishna have on his chariot? What flag? Shastriji. Garuda, yes. So, what did Maharaj Prickett have on his flag? We read about it actually at one point, but was it a lion? I don't remember actually. So the flag indicates who the person is, and the wind will blow. It will also indicate the direction things are going in. So that's the modes of material nature will indicate who the person is. What modes of nature control us? They indicate. So one rein, one mind, one chariot driver. Who is the chariot driver? Who is driving the chariot actually? Who do we think is driving the chariot of our body? Yeah, I think it's me, but actually it isn't me. Like, I'll show you how I think it's me. Hand, move upward. Hand, go down. Hand, point at Edward. So I think this is me, but if I want to do that, but Krishna doesn't allow me to do it, I can't do it. So many people, they're old, they have a disease, they're paralyzed or something, or very, very weak, they can't do that. So it's not just the person. The person may desire, but it's really up to Krishna. He's really driving the chariot. Savasya chaham riddhe sanavisto Ishvara savabhutanam riddhise arjuna tishtiti. So one chariot driver, one sitting place. What's the sitting place for? If we're not the driver of the chariot, who are we? The senses are the horses. And who? And what are we then? And the driver is Krishna, the Super Soul. What are we then? We're the passenger. And where do we sit? In the sitting place. Right. And the sitting place is the heart, because the soul sits in the heart. There are two poles to which the harness was fixed, five weapons and seven coverings. The chariot moved in five different styles, and five obstacles lay before it. All the decorations of the chariot were made of gold. So so these are all the different elements are explained in the purport. By the flags one understands the owner, because the flags are the three modes of material nature. The two kinds of false ego, where's the two wheels? Two poles to which the harness was fixed. What is the harness? The harness is what? It holds everything in place. So what holds us in place? False ego. And what are the two kinds of false ego? I am my body, and everything is mine. And if someone has something, I become jealous because it really should belong to me. The rope or the reins is the mind. The two posts, the two causes of bondage, lamentation or illusion. Whoops, I said those. That was the. Those were explosive arrows. Explosive arrows or something else. I'll find out what those explosive arrows are in a moment. Panchaprasthan, the place of five sense objects. The driver of five horses, the five senses, moving swiftly, very eager to enjoy, like that. Prabhupada explains in the purport. In these three verses, the activity of the living entity is described to prove how the body becomes influenced by the quality of ignorance. Even when a person wants to be religious. So Paranjana wanted to be religious, but there's such a tendency for ignorance to enter in. Such a tendency, because the material body is basically ignorant. Because it causes an identification, and our activities cause an identification with the body, which is basically ignorance. Even if we have a body that's predominated by the mode of goodness, it tends towards ignorance because it's illusion, because we tend to think that we are the body. So Narada Muni wanted to prove to King Pachini Barishad, who he's telling the story to, that the king was being influenced by the tamagun, the quality of ignorance, even though the king was supposed to be very religious because he was killing so many animals. Ignorance, his ignorance was his animal sacrifices. Although they are mentioned in the Vedic scriptures, still, therefore, the killing of animals is for those in the mode of ignorance. Prabhupada explains in the purport. Actually, animal sacrifice is meant for persons in the mode of ignorance. When such people kill animals, they can at least do so in the name of religion. However, when the religious system is transcendental, like the Vaishnava religion, there is no place for animal sacrifice. So in the Bible, there's animal sacrifice. But not in, and in the Vedas, there's animal sacrifice. But not in the Vedic, not in the, in the Bhagavad Gita, because it's a higher, it's higher. It's on a higher level. Because everyone should be religious. This point comes out so many times in the third chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. It will also come out here later on. We need to enjoy. If we have desires, we have to enjoy ourselves. But better if we do it in a religious way. And therefore, by acting in a religious way, even if we have material desires, we'll become purified. And if we act with on our material desires in an irreligious, unshastric way, we'll become degraded still further. But it is not that the religious injunctions that engage people who have material desires are meant for everyone. If one doesn't have material desires, if one is above that and is ready to give up material desires and act from a pure platform, he has a different set of guidelines, naturally. Just like a person in the university studying mathematics has a different set of instructions than a person in the second grade studying mathematics. They're not the same, on the same level. But one should progress from the second grade upward so he can study on the university level. So one shouldn't become attached to the knowledge and activities in the second grade any more than one should become attached to the knowledge and activities meant to engage people on a lower level who have lower desires, still engage them religiously so that their desires don't degrade them. So such a transcendental religious system is recommended by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. Savadamam pritya mame kam sharanam bhaja. This is the highest principle of religion. We give ourselves to Krishna. We don't act to gradually remove the coverings over the soul, but we act as a soul, because the pure soul without any coverings is a servant of Krishna. So this is what Krishna is recommending in the Bhagavad Gita. Savadamam pratyaja ham tam savapapabhyo moksishami masicha. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. Because King Prachini Barisha was engaged in performing various sacrifices in which animals were killed, Narada Muni pointed out that such sacrifices are influenced by the mode of ignorance. From the very beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam 1.1.2, it is said, Projita Kaitavo Tra. All kinds of religious systems that are involved in cheating are completely kicked out of Srimad Bhagavatam. So the Bhagavatam speaks on the highest level, on the soul level. If you want to act on the soul level, this is how you should act. Not if you want to gradually satisfy your material desires in such a way that you become less entangled in the material world. The soul level is give yourself completely to Krishna. In what way? Sarva bhavena bharata, in all respects. So we might not be complete, we might not be on that level when we can give ourselves completely to Krishna. But yet the Bhagavatam teaches us that this is the highest, very clearly explains that this is the highest, this is the goal, this is what we should be doing. And it explains the process for coming to that level. So this is called, why does someone act on this completely surrendered level? Because he wants to please Krishna. That's what it means. Because that's the natural consciousness of the soul. The soul is a lover of Krishna. Anything else is like a dream. Shrapna drastur ivarati. under the influence of Atma Mayam Rite Rajan. And if we dream of enjoying Ramameta, we'll get so many Bahurupa Ivabhati Mayaya Bahurupaya. We will get one body after another, after another, after another, composed of the material energy. So Bhagavad Dharma means those activities that are meant not like an animal sacrifice, a way to eat meat in a religious way, but Bhagavad Dharmic activities are activities meant to please Krishna. That is the discrimination a person uses when he performs his activities. I want to please Krishna. And why should we want to please Krishna? Because it's natural. It's completely natural to please Krishna. Completely natural for the soul. Because the soul by nature is a lover of Krishna, but now we've forgotten that. So in the Bhagavad Dharma, the religion dealing with one's relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, animal sacrifice is not recommended. So what sacrifice should we do? What is the sacrifice recommended in Bhagavad Dharma? Yes. In the performance of Sankirtan Jagya, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Rama Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. There is no recommendation for animal sacrifices. So, who is going to look and find out what the two explosive weapons are? Who will be the first person to let us know? Huh? What?
Ahanta and mamata.
Mamata means I and mine. So that's what I thought those were the two pillars. Two kinds of false ego. What are the explosive weapons? You don't have the book. Huh? Uh-huh. Hmm. Yes, there it is. He kept two explosive weapons, which may be compared to ahankar, or false ego. The false ego is the weapon. If someone says to you, you have a big false ego, is that a compliment? No. Yes? No. No. He says, I am very big concept of who I am and a big concept of of what is mine, but actually we are very, very tiny and insignificant, and what is ours is similarly more or less nothing. Okay, so Pranjana has gone to the forest. It was almost impossible for King Pranjana to give up the company of his queen even for a moment. So we read about that yesterday, because you need your intelligence to enjoy. Nonetheless, on that day, being very much inspired by the desire to hunt, so when the senses are really, really moving, we don't act intelligently. We leave our intelligence home and we go out with just our mind. So, inspired by the desire to hunt, he took up his bow and arrow with great pride and went to the forest, not caring for his wife. Purport. One form of hunting is known as woman hunting. A conditioned soul is never satisfied with one wife. Those whose senses are very much uncontrolled especially try to hunt for many women. So, in the hunt for material enjoyment, the religious way is to use one's material intelligence properly. Or, in the analogy, one should stay with his one wife. That's the religious way to enjoy. But the conditioned soul, King Paranjana is abandoning the company of his religious married wife is representative of the conditioned soul's attempt to hunt for many women for sense gratification. He does not care for religious principles. So when one When one's senses are agitated sufficiently and one's mind is agitated sufficiently, one doesn't care about religious principles, one doesn't care about anything. What does one care about only? What I want. And what is a person who takes very, very, very seriously what he wants? What is a person called? Huh? Yes, yeah, selfish. Or what happens if you, what is a person who thinks that his wants are very important? Extremely important, most important. What is a person?
Asura.
Yeah? I'm looking for one word and Prabhupada uses it in the next line. Instead, with great pride, aren't you proud? I want this. Well, so what? Who cares if that's what you want? It's just pride. So he doesn't care for religious principles. Instead, with great pride, he accepts the bow and arrow of attachment and hatred. So I want this and I don't want that. I mean, who cares? No one else cares, but it's me who wants that. False ego, pride. How dare you say that you don't care? Don't you know who I am? Well, who are you? Years and years ago, I met one man. This was in 1970. He was in the army, and I had left Japan to go to Korea to get my visa, and I met a man, and I was an army man in uniform, and he saw I was a devotee and a dhoti, so he said, I don't need to join anything like this. I know who I am. So I said, well, who are you? And he said, I'm me. That isn't great knowledge, is it? So, with great pride, we accept the bow and arrow of attachment and hatred. This I want. This I hate. It is bad. This is good. It's really insanity. Our consciousness is always working in two ways, the right way and the wrong way. When one becomes too proud of his position, influenced by the motive passion, he gives up the right path and accepts the wrong path. And Paranjana was on the wrong path. At that time, text 5, King Paranjana was very much influenced by demoniac propensities. Because of this, his heart became very hard and merciless. And with sharp arrows, he killed many innocent animals in the forest, taking no consideration. What is he taking no consideration of? I like to kill animals. It is great fun for me to take my bow and arrow and gun and shoot them. I get great pleasure out of that. What is he taking no consideration of? Huh? Right? And also... Yeah. Them? Their existence is meant for my pleasure. I don't care. I don't even consider that it may hurt them. I mean, how would you like it if someone shot an arrow into your leg or your shoulder or your heart? Do you think it would feel good? Do you think a deer doesn't feel? Or a kangaroo? What do they mostly shoot here when they go hunting? Rabbits. Very brave, aren't they? Rabbits. Big guys go out with big guns. Where are those rabbits? I'm over here. So, taking no consideration about anything, I want to do it, that's all that's important. I like it. Purport. When a man becomes too proud of his material position, he tries to enjoy his senses in an unrestricted way, being influenced by the modes of passion and ignorance. He is thus described as a suric or demoniac. When people are demoniac in spirit, they are not merciful towards the poor animals. Consequently, they maintain various animal slaughterhouses. This is technically called sunna or himsa, which means the killing of living beings, violence. In Kali Yuga, due to the increase of the modes of passion and ignorance, almost all men are asuric or demoniac. Therefore, they are very much fond of eating flesh. And for this end, they maintain various kinds of animal slaughterhouses. In this age of Kali, the propensity for mercy is almost nil. Consequently, there is always fighting and wars between men and nations. Men do not understand that because they unrestrictedly kill so many animals, they also must be slaughtered like animals in big wars. This is very much evident in the Western countries. In the West, slaughterhouses are maintained without restriction, and therefore every fifth or tenth year there is a big war in which countless people are slaughtered, even more cruelly than the animals. And right now there's so many wars going on, 10, 20, 30 wars where people are just killing each other. There's wars where they force the people in. On both sides, there's one war in Africa like this, Ethiopian, Eritrea, something. And then the leaders say, okay, go! And they just charge each other and kill each other. And thousands and thousands and thousands of people have nothing to do with anything, just kill each other like animals. And they're trying to kill you. So how are you going to act? In the most vicious way you can, just to save your own life. So how horrible. And not so many places in the world. There's tens and tens and tens of places in the world where these animalistic wars are going on. Sometimes during war, soldiers keep their enemies in concentration camps and kill them in very cruel ways. These are reactions brought about by unrestricted animal killing in the slaughterhouse and by hunters in the forest. Proud, demoniac people do not know the laws of nature or the laws of God. Consequently, they unrestrictedly kill poor animals, not caring for them at all. In the Krishna consciousness movement, animal killing is completely prohibited. It is not accepted as a bona fide student in this movement unless he promises to follow the four regulative principles: no animal killing, no intoxication, no illicit sex, and no gambling. This Krishna consciousness movement is the only means by which the sinful activities of men in this Kali Yuga can be counteracted. So now, after describing Pranjana going to the forest, in text 6 through 8, it's like an aside to Pranjana, to Narada saying to Pachini Barishad. So read those three verses and then read some of the purports. If a king is too attracted to eating flesh, he may, according to the directions of the revealed scriptures on sacrificial performances, go to the forest and kill some animals that are recommended for killing. One is not allowed to kill animals unnecessarily or without restriction. The Vedas regulate animal killing to stop the extravagance of foolish men influenced by the modes of passion and ignorance. So the sacrifices are meant for those who have a strong tendency to eat meat and they can't control themselves. So let them do it in a restricted or a sacrificial religious way, so that gradually one will become elevated. So it is said that there's a sacrifice that one can, on the Amavasya, the dark moon night, one can go to the edge of town and kill a goat. This is in the tamasic or sections of the Puranas. And there's a mantra that you have to whisper, and you have to kill the goat yourself. None of this thinking that meat comes from a supermarket. No, you have to see where it comes from. And you have to whisper a mantra in the goat's ear that says something to the effect of, now I'm killing you, and in your next life you can kill me. So how many times you would go through that before you, hey, wait a second, is this worth it? Just so I can eat some goat flesh? Is it worth it to allow him to myself to be killed in the same way? Because I'm seeing what the goat goes through. He hates it. No one likes to be killed, obviously. So the purpose of the Shastric regulation is to restrict these things. It's part of the path of purification. So Narada Muni is explaining this to Prachinibharisha, because Prachinibharisha, he wants to stop him from performing all these sacrifices. Think in the name of religion, thinking that these are religious, because it says that it gives sanction to do them in the Vedas. But it's not actual religion. Real religion is Sarvadhamma Pratyaksha, Bhagavad Dharma, pleasing God. So Narada Muni continued to speak to King Prachinibharisha, my dear king, any person who works according to the directions of the Vedic scriptures does not become involved in fruitive activities. So one will perform the Vedic sacrifices to fulfill one's own desires in such a way that one will gradually become free. And one should follow the Vedic scriptures, the Vedic laws, and Prabhupada gives a great criticism of man-made laws in his purport, because they are subject to mistake, they're deficient. So if it says in a man-made law that it's okay to do something, it's all right to kill animals or take some kind of intoxication, it's defective, and it is not understanding the laws of nature. It is not in harmony with the laws of nature. So therefore one will get a reaction, a deep reaction, even if one is following the laws of the land, because they are defectively made by man. They are whimsical. So what is the result of following, of acting whimsically? Say if one wants to enjoy himself. So if one doesn't follow the Shastric way to enjoy and restrict one's enjoyment, what is the result? Otherwise, if one doesn't follow Shastra, a person who acts whimsically falls down due to false prestige, due to his pride. I will do whatever I want, when I want, just as I want. Thus he becomes involved in the laws of nature, which are composed of the three qualities, goodness, passion, and ignorance. In this way, a living entity becomes devoid of his real intelligence and becomes perpetually lost in the cycle of birth and death. So we talk about that, we hear it so many times, oh, we get lost in the cycle of birth and death, we get lost in the cycle of birth and death. Oh, so what? We get lost in the cycle of birth and death. It's like going downtown or something like that. But death is a terrifying thing. And who knows where we'll take birth. Thus one goes up and down from a microbe and stool to a high position in the Brahmaloka planet. So the point, and Prabhupada gives very extensive purports on these points. Very extensive purports, very compassionate actually. Very difficult to convince Westerners of these things, that one's life isn't meant just to do whatever one feels like at any time, because we've been trained to think in that way. That life's purpose is what? Is what? Just to amass as much as quickly as possible, as much money especially, because money means power for enjoyment. So Prabhupada is explaining here very strongly, don't act like this. Dangerous, dangerous. Shastra vidyamutsrija vartate kamakarata nasa siddhim avapnoti nasukamna paramutim. From the Bhagavad Gita, He who discards scriptural injunctions and acts according to his own whims attains neither perfection nor happiness nor the supreme destination. This one who is deliberately transgressing the rules and regulations of the Shastras is simply involving himself more and more in material existence and the three modes of material nature. Human society should therefore follow the Vedic principles of life, which is summarized in Bhagavad Gita. Otherwise, life in material existence will continue. Foolish persons do not know that the soul is passing through 8,400,000 species of life. By the gradual process of evolution, when one comes to the human form of life, he is supposed to follow the rules and regulations laid down in the Vedas. A little more from the purport. The word manaruddha is also very significant in this verse. Under the pretext of becoming great philosophers and scientists, men throughout the whole world are working on the mental platform. In other words, they're guessing what should be done and what shouldn't be done, not taking direction from Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. Such men are generally non-devotees due to not caring for the instructions given by the Lord to the first living creature, Lord Brahma. The Bhagavatam therefore says, Harava bhaktasya kuta mahaguna manaratena sato dhavato bahi. A person who is a non-devotee has no good qualifications because he acts on the mental platform. One who acts on the mental platform has to change his standard of knowledge periodically. We consequently see that one philosopher may disagree with another philosopher, and one scientist may put forward a theory contradicting the theory of another scientist. All of this is due to their working on the mental platform. Someone says, well, this is good, and another person says, no, this is good. But where's the standard? There's no, without an absolute standard, you can't judge anything. Everyone just has their own opinion. And therefore, our absolute standard is the Shastra and the Guru and the Vaishnavas. But the central one is Shastra. So we may not always come up to the level that Shastra tells us that we should, but this is the standard. This is what good means. This is what the absolute platform is. All of this is due to their working on the mental platform without a standard of knowledge. In the Vedic instructions, however, the standard of knowledge is accepted, even though it may sometimes appear that the statements are contradictory. Because the Vedas are the standard of knowledge, even though they may appear contradictory, they should be accepted. If one does not accept them, they will be bound by the material condition. The material conditions are described in this verse as guna pravaha, the flowing of the three modes of material nature. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur therefore says in a song, Miche mayara vashe yatcha beche kacha habudhububai. Why are you suffering? Why are you sometimes being drowned in the waves of material nature and sometimes coming to the surface? Jiva Krishna Das E Vishvas Karleta Raduganai. Please, therefore, accept yourself as the servant of Krishna. Then you will be freed from all miseries. As soon as one surrenders to Krishna and accepts the perfect standard of knowledge, which is Bhagavad Gita as it is, he then comes out of the material modes of nature and does not fall down and lose his knowledge. So there's a strong plea here by Prabhupada to follow the standard ways of enjoyment even if we have material desires and not act whimsically. Why is he pleading in this way? Because he doesn't want us to further entangle ourselves in the material world in repeated birth and death, etc. Because we won't enjoy in this life and we'll suffer in the next. Text 9. So now back to the story of King Puranjana and his hunting. When King Puranjana was hunting in this way, many animals within the forest lost their lives with great pain. Being pierced by the sharp arrowheads, Upon seeing these devastating, ghastly activities performed by the king, all the people who were merciful by nature became very unhappy. Such merciful persons could not tolerate seeing all this killing. Well, listen to Prabhupada's purport, and this will be the last one we read tonight. When demonic persons engage in animal killing, the demigods or devotees of the Lord are very much afflicted by this killing. Demoniac civilizations in this modern age maintain various types of slaughterhouses all over the world. Rascal swamis and yogis encourage foolish persons to go on eating flesh and killing animals, and at the same time continue their so-called meditation and mystical practices. All these affairs are ghastly, and a compassionate person, namely a devotee of the Lord, becomes very unhappy to see such a sight. The hunting process is also carried on in a different way, as we have already explained. Hunting women, drinking different types of liquor, becoming intoxicated, killing animals, and enjoying sex all serve as the basis of modern civilization. Vaishnavas are unhappy to see such a situation in the world, and therefore they are very busy spreading this Krishna consciousness movement. The devotees are pained to see the hunting and killing of animals in the forest, and the wholesale slaughter of animals in the slaughterhouse, and the exploitation of young girls in brothels that function under different names as clubs and societies. Being very much compassionate upon the killing of animals and sacrifice, the great sage Narada begins his instructions to King Prachini Bahishai. In these instructions, Narada Muni explained that devotees like him are very much afflicted by all the killing that goes on in human society. Okay, we'll stop here. Thank you. Any questions, comments? Yep. Yep. What? Yes.
I'm looking at that 10 years ago. Must have been an immigrant from India. He was arrested for doing that sacrifice with God. Yeah, RSPCA, they raised a complaint about cruelty.
Yeah.
He was charge.
Who was that?
He was an Indian immigrant.
Yeah.
He did that sacrifice with God.
Yeah.
Conflict
of cultures, or the hypocrisy also. It's cruel to the animals. We should kill them in a kind, compassionate way. Of course, if you kill in a cruel way, there's more karma, actually. But still, killing is killing. Hypocrites. One time I heard Prabhupada say, he called there's an ASPCA here, Australian Society for Prevention for Cruelty to Animals. Yeah, Royal, excuse me. It's Royal. And Prabhupada said, the SPCA, Society for Promotion of Cruelty to Animals, because they're all meat eaters. So what is this hypocrisy? I mean, and they don't even see it. It's the weirdest thing. Some of them see it, but very, very rarely. Such hypocrisy. Why do you eat meat? I like it. Well, you like it. So proud. You think the animals like to be eaten? Why don't you try it? Why don't you try it on your children and see how much they like it? Yes, what is the second comment for the pleasure of the devotees? The latest news. The top American scientists. What? The universe is flat. Did someone sit on it? No. No, they say the universe is flat? Where did you hear this? No, it isn't. Is it? No, it isn't. Actually, Brahmanda means the universe is actually egg-shaped, according to... Yeah, but Brahmanda means, Ananda means it's egg-shaped. Actually, the universe itself, maybe the, it's flat, huh? How, I mean, what's the width of this little flat thing? Do we have any width? Right. Like a chapati. It's called the chapati theory. Forget the Big Bang theory. It's the chapati universal theory. It will expand like a chapati. Right. It's the chapati theory.
If they still believe the Big Bang theory, how can something explode all the flat? We need to explode all the other ones, too.
Send them an email message. Huh?
Be something new in the next one.
Yeah. The flat universal chapati ever expanding theory. But I thought that they didn't think that it was ever expanding. It was contracts again. That's what I thought. That we say that it contracts again. It expands and then contracts. That's, and the black goes into the black hole, which is the navel of the Dark Lord. Something like that. Any other entertainment for the night? Yes, there is some more.
Okay. Huh? Right, the animal code.
Yes.
I want to meet a man who the season was wicked.
He was a what?
Season was wicked.
Yeah.
Inside, he was a professional practitioner, and then with that, he was a roofer. She started walking to a roofer. I said, how does it feel to live doing this kind of work? And he said, well, I get really sore backs from putting crack pots. When I get a shoot roof, I get a really sore shoulder from the kickback from the gun. That's what he said. And how it feels.
Yeah. Doesn't have much feeling, obviously. But the Vaishnavas feel for the poor animals and the poor people. At least Prabhupada did, and he tried to inspire us to preach based on his compassion, even though we may be hard-hearted. So let's just imagine someone, some innocent fellow walking down the street, and Dale hands him a book, and he opens it up and reads this, and it can change his life, deeply affect him, because it's true. And everyone will recognize that it's truth. Read something like this. Okay, tomorrow we'll need some more. Prabhupada's purports in this chapter, very long. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.